The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
And good afternoon. And a very happy April 10th, everybody. Hope you're having a good day today. We certainly are here in paradise. Lovely day in Southwest Florida. If you like cloudy days and looks like it might rain, but other than that, no, it is a nice day here, almost always a nice day, and I hope it's great where you're at as well. So much for the weather. A lot going on. My God, the how do you keep up with this stuff nowadays? How do we? It's like just getting a hold of a tail of the tiger and trying to hang on. The news just breaks bang, 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 bang faster than you can keep up with it. By the way, you can call us 866-546-5254. We'll be getting to the phones in just a little while. 866-546-5254. So glad to have you all along this afternoon. We've got some important things we want to talk about a little later on. We're going to have a guest on at the bottom of this hour. Boo Man from Boo Man Tribune web blog, really a great one. You got to go see that. I recently discovered it, and the guy's a great writer and a very good analyst, I might say, as well. We're going to discuss what he and I think is the really big news to come out of Leakgate. I don't think the really big news has hit the headlines yet, and that's just a tease, and we'll let you know what we really think a little later on. How many of you saw Bush's speech this morning? Oh, wasn't it lovely once again? Wasn't it just lovely? My God, the guy seems to get more and more inept as time goes by. Did you listen to some of the things he said today, some of the pathetic statements that he made? Man, oh man. I wrote down a couple. I quote Junior Bush here, "Never use force unless you've exhausted all avenues of diplomacy." Who's he talking about? Obviously, he's talking about some other administration should do that. And the wildest one of all, and quoting him again, "War came unexpectedly." To whom? He and his boys had planned that war for a long time, but he said that war came unexpectedly. He cannot stop lying, no matter what he does. He can't stop. And he calls it wild speculation that Cy Hirsch wrote the story about the Iran. What he thinks we're going to do to Iran, what he's heard we're going to do. And if you all of you remember, we had Scott Ritter, who's no slouch about that area over there. Last summer, he predicted that this spring that we would attack Iran. And it's looking more and more and more every day. Man, I'll tell you, you'd have to be insane to do that. You would have had to have lost it completely to even think about going into Iran right now. I hope someone gets a hold of him and straightens him out on that. And did you notice how many times this morning that he invoked 9/11 into his speech again? 9/11, 9/11, 9/11. He's got to prop himself up on 9/11 like 9/11. Once again, now he will say, if asked, that he never said 9/11 was the cause of the war, and yet he weaves it in and out of every speech that he talks about. He said he takes the protests seriously. As far as he's concerned, what protests? When has he ever seen a protest? Outside of that guy getting to him last week and asking him a couple of pointed questions or making a couple of honest statements at him, when has he ever seen a protest? And then the one where I wanted to grab him and just shake him, he made a quote this morning. He said, "I knew exactly what would happen when I sent our troops into battle." Oh, really? Did you now? "I knew exactly what would happen when I sent our troops into battle." Well, if he knew, he's the only one. Nothing anyone thought from his side of the coin has seen any of that. I mean, it's been a total disaster. Is he saying he saw this insurgency and it's 3 years of losing 2,355 men or whatever it is right now? Did he saw that and he still did it? He's crazier than ever. And, of course, he couldn't talk about Leakgate because he used that famous phrase that they love to use so well over in that side of the aisle, an ongoing investigation. Ongoing investigation. Well, that's true. And, of course, someone brought up the fact about the drawing down our troops. How many of you watched the Sunday morning programs yesterday? I only ever get to see capsules of them at the end of the day. I don't get to watch them on Sunday morning. I'm busy. But, you know, they're talking now how great it is that, well, he mentioned in his speech this morning that one of the hallmarks of what the positive things America has done there is we now have 240,000 Iraqi troops trained. 240,000 Iraqi troops trained. Do you not remember, I think all of us remember, that as soon as we got those folks trained, we would replace our soldiers with them? So he's got 240,000 of them trained right now. How many American soldiers did he send home? Any? Any? I get so damn mad when I watch him talk and he says things like he expects people to believe him. And the sad part is a lot of people do believe what he says. That speech of his this morning was something straight out of fantasy land. It makes you wonder as to the man's sanity. I'm sorry, but I do. I wonder if he is actually sane. Or is he that diabolical? Is he that huge a liar and prevaricator? Is he that good at proficient at falsehoods and untruths? Or is he just insane? I hate to talk about him every single day, but he makes himself the news every single day. You'd like to leave him alone for a little while, but then he sticks his face right in there and makes this speech this morning, this goofy sounding speech this morning with more of those idiot smirks of his and comments that don't make any sense and his sense of humor that he looks like a buffoon. And I think while I'm mentioning that, I need to explain something to everybody. I want to explain something to everybody. I've been asked to explain, and I've been asked a lot of times to explain why I've said that we have the moral responsibility and the patriotic duty, and the part that gets everybody is to defeat every single Republican running for office who has sworn allegiance to this simple-minded oath that occupies the White House right now. Every single one of them. I get mail every single day from listeners calling themselves conservatives. They claim that they're conservative and they love George W. Bush. First of all, that is just plain stupid talk. No true conservative could possibly love George Bush for what he's done as president. That's impossible if you're a conservative. He's expanded government to levels never dreamed of. He's allowed the government to be more intrusive into Americans' lives than ever before. He's presided over an administration which has sent the budget deficit to unthinkable levels. His administration has spent money and increased the national debt like there'll be no tomorrow. In no way whatsoever are these traits of a conservative. True conservatives have, for the most part, kept their mouth shut and not said much about Bush's damaging fiscal policies. And I think they've done so to keep unity in the Republican Party, and that's all right. But that group has started to crack. And you now see real conservatives speaking out against Bush's mismanagement of American economic policies. Have you listened to Pat Buchanan much lately? So we know that if you're a real Bush lover, you're no conservative. So don't even go there. But whether or not a Republican is really conservative or not is not the point I'm after here. I'm saying that anybody who has sat quietly by and said nothing about Bush's incompetence and mismanagement is not fit to hold elected office. Anyone, meaning all Republicans who have defended his policies, are not fit to hold elected office. Anyone who has watched this man betray his nation over and over and over again and either kept quiet about it or defended his actions is of such low moral character as to automatically disqualify him or her from holding office. That's how I feel about this upcoming election. Time and time again this past week, we've seen elected Republicans interviewed about this latest, probably most egregious obscenity yet put in front of the American people, and they've danced, they've evaded, they've bobbed and weaved, whatever you want to call it, but they backed him, even though some of them absolutely must know that Bush has told one lie after another to the American people in order to go to war, and to continue his war, and to cover up the mistakes or the lies about the war. I'm sorry, but only a true ignoramus or a person who didn't give a tinker's damn about the welfare of this nation could possibly back this man now. There is no longer any excuse, any reason whatsoever that someone who loves this country would stand behind the actions of George Bush. The man is now and always has been an utter failure throughout his life. Golden boy, or that has the silver spoon in his mouth. He's failed at everything he's ever done. And it just amazes me that anyone, knowing his background of failure and incompetence, could ever have thought him worthy or capable of being president of the United States, period. Did you see Gonzalez before Sensenbrenner's committee on Thursday? You want to know what I'm talking about Republicans here? Did you see Gonzalez, that contemptible bastard? Did you see the contempt he showed the congressman who asked him questions for which the citizens of this country deserve rightful answers? How many times did he say, I'm not going to answer that, or I've already answered that, or it's legal because the president said so? A more absurd answer I have never heard. Here we have Gonzalez, the nation's highest-ranking law officer, and yet he is an American traitor of the highest order. He sees his job as defending the president instead of looking out for the people. I submit to you that nobody in Washington's job is to be loyal to the president. They are first and foremost to be loyal to the people of the United States, and being loyal to the people of the United States right now does not include being loyal to George W. Bush. Gonzalez is as wrong can be with his loyalties. He should be dismissed from his lofty perch. His arrogance and defiance of congressmen is literally stunning to me. But this isn't about Republicans. It's about those who call themselves Republicans and are working against the general welfare of the people of the United States. In short, they're putting their offices and their re-elections above the safety and the well-being of the people they're sworn to serve. They're political whores of the highest order, and they do not deserve the trust or respect of one single American. They disgust me. They say, well, guy, you're looking at the government through rose-colored glasses. Yes, I am. Because that's the way it ought to be. Our representatives ought to be true and pure and representative of the wishes of the people of this country. All of the people who are now saying that the president can do no wrong if he says it isn't wrong, in my opinion, have lost lost touch with reality. We did not elect a king. And this man sees himself as royalty and above the law. Gonzalez refused to say that Bush isn't above the law. He refused to say that George Bush is not above the law. And when he refused to say it, you know that he thinks that Bush is above the law. The Attorney General of the United States giving tacit approval to any goddamn thing Bush wants to do. Bush can do anything he wants because he, and he alone, is above the law. That's the most offensively arrogant, pontifical, pretentious idea I have ever heard in my life. Bush is above the law. That's insanity. That's the definition of insanity. Did you ever think you'd hear anyone in this nation saying anyone is above the law? Anyone? Did anyone in this country ever expect to be above the law except George W. Bush? I didn't think so. And I got to be truthful, I wouldn't have dreamed of this even from Bush, but it has happened. Bush declares an all-out assault on the Constitution of the United States. He deceives the American people concerning matters of national security. He pretends he knows nothing about the leaks. He feigns being a tough guy by saying he'd get to the bottom of this matter, and we find out it is he who is the bottom of this matter. And instead of being contrite, instead of being apologetic, instead of explaining himself and asking the American people to forgive him of such a grievous transgression, he makes things worse by saying up yours to anyone questioning his illegal, immoral actions. And the right-wing talking heads give him a pass and get behind the ridiculous contention that this is just all fine and dandy because he's the president. And let me be clear here, so that none of you misunderstand me. Let me state categorically and completely unambiguously that I believe there is no doubt whatsoever that anyone who backs the actions of Bush in this matter is not only undeserving of holding elected office, but someone whom I look upon as a traitor to the good people of the United States of America, period. There is no gray area there. By supporting this man, you are leading to the destruction of the Constitution. You are supporting the actions of a man hell-bent upon having his way, right or wrong, come hell or high water. He's going to have his way, and he doesn't give a good goddamn if any of us likes it or not. He's raised his hand, placed the other hand on the Bible, and swore to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States, so help him God. And he has violated every word of that oath. He wants to reinterpret the Constitution so as it benefits him. He hasn't protected the Constitution, but rather he's led an all-out assault on it, and he sure as hell has not defended it in any way whatsoever that I can see. And by this latest action, he's shown contempt for the Constitution. He's mocked our Constitution. And so that you don't misunderstand, I don't give a damn about political parties involved in this matter. If any Democrat, running for office is willing to concede to him his lawless, contemptible actions that the Democrats, though they don't deserve to hold office, if any Democrat running for office does not now categorically reject the basis for this illegal and immoral war, we should shun them and withhold our support from their campaign. Politics has to end somewhere, and morality has to start guiding these people instead of their self-serving, greedy lust for power. And let me state clearly again, I will not support any Democrat for any office that from this moment on does not withhold his or her support for Bush's war. Anyone. Those who do not join John Kerry's plan to get out of Iraq, they don't deserve the vote of any loyal Democrat. And it doesn't necessarily have to be John Kerry's plan, although I see that as a very good one. I've had it. And as you can probably tell, I've had all weekend to mull this over, and I'm going to here and now declare that I will not back any Democrat who continues to be silent on this issue. If they're asked about it, I want straight answers. I want them to do the right thing for America and condemn Bush's actions. No more politics. How about doing what's right for a change? You know, knowing the absence of any morality whatsoever within the Bush administration, every Democratic officer should appeal to the good sense of the American people and publicly deplore his behavior. And if they don't, they're no better than he is. By keeping silent, they're enabling him to continue on with his ruinous path for this country. I ask all of you, everyone, to do everything you possibly can to convince our elected Democrats and those who are running for office to take off the gloves and fight bare knuckles against the actions of this would-be dictator. It's the right thing to do. It's the only thing to do right now. For if we don't, there is going to be hell to pay in this country. You mark my word, if this man isn't kicked out of office, there's going to be hell to pay. We're going to be in a worse fix than this nation ever has been in, and we're approaching it now. If this insanity is allowed to continue, and he's allowed to take us into a military conflict with Iran at this moment in time, we're in more trouble than I want to think about. So do the right thing. Start a campaign. Contact your legislators, no matter who they may be. Scream, holler, carry on, do it in a reasonable manner. But get a hold of everybody listening to me. Get a hold of every congressman and every senator that you know and let them know about your displeasure of this actions and these proposed actions about going into Iran. The only way they'll listen to you is if they fear for their own re-election, and we've got to make damn sure that we make them fear for their re-election if they don't heed our words. (866) 546-5254 I'd like to hear from you. I guess you've heard quite enough from me today. But like I said, I thought about this all weekend and every spare moment I had, and I'm so disgusted I don't know what to do. I am just beside myself over this. And coming up around 3:30, we're going to talk about what I think is the worst part of this Leakgate that I haven't even heard discussed yet. And if the worst part of this does hit the headlines, I think Bush would be out on his ass tomorrow. Or headed that way. I think even the Republicans would have to swallow hard and say, well, all right, let's get him out of here. Did you see Colin Powell making a speech, yesterday? And I'll quote him, he said, our mistakes in Iraq spawned the Iraqi insurgency. I mean, we've been saying that for a long time. It's about it's time somebody involved in putting us in there. And Colin, I'm sorry. You were a willing accomplice. It's about time somebody owns up to it. It's time somebody made an honest statement to the American public about what actually is going on over there. Don't you love the way they're running from the term civil war? There's no civil war over there. To everybody in that region, their neighbors, the leaders of that country, everybody knows. The citizens, the Shias, the Sunnis, the Kurds, they all know they're in the middle of a civil war right now. And they're being honest about it and talking about it and saying it. Either Bush is crazy. And I mean that. I think the guy is not all there. I don't think he could be this evil. Maybe he could. But I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt and think he's just not all there. And he just doesn't think straight. You know, when you look at this whole mess, what has come down through on this Leakgate right now, you know, Bush has got to answer. He either lied or Cheney lied about the leaks of classified intelligence. Which was it? You know, the issue with which confronts President Bush right now is whether he lied or whether Cheney lied. Somebody lied. It was either Bush or Cheney. Which was it? And I think it's up to Bush to make the issue clear. That's the issue that has to be settled. The story is that one of the two of them lied. Was it Bush or was it Cheney or was it both? It's up to Bush to answer that question. The president has got to stop ducking that question. You know, like I've hinted before, we know the president's got limited mental abilities, but nonetheless, on this question, he's got to answer because someone is going down. It's either going to be the president or it's going to be Cheney, or in ideal circumstances, both. And have you noticed the latest stories to come out? It looks like they're trying to cut bait and maybe put Cheney adrift. That maybe this whole thing was Cheney's idea and poor old Bushy boy didn't know much about it. That he did declassify the information, but gosh, he didn't okay anybody to release it like that. That's the story that's coming out of Washington now. Oh, well, I didn't know that. He didn't know that he was going to, well, heck no. George wouldn't do a thing like that. Would he? I don't know. Hey, we're going to be back in a couple of minutes. Don't go anywhere.
See a squirm, see you perspire. Not a word you say is true. There's never been one out of you. Smoke and mirrors, bait and switch. You and your friends are getting rich. Picking pockets, pulling strings, and other more despicable things. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Preaching only to the choir. Photo op in front of the steeple. How did you manage to fool these people? You talk the lingo, dress the part, even put your hand over your heart. Bomber jacket, emperor's clothes. You can't even reach the end of your nose.
Liar, pants on fire. Isn't that a dandy? I can't think of a song more appropriate for this moment in time, that song right there. I thank for the gentleman who sent that in. We'll give him some credit at the end of the program here as soon as I find my notes on that anyway. Hey, I promised you we'd have an interesting guest on today, and we're taking a little bit different route today than we normally do with our guest, and that's because I have been thinking, as I mentioned to you, we're talking about this Leakgate mess here. And I've been talking about the Leakgate and thinking about it all weekend, and I was thinking last night. Anyway, I got directed to this website, the Boomin Tribune.com, and it seems that that he and I think an awfully lot alike about this whole situation. So I thought, what the heck, let's get him on the program and let's talk about it, and we're going to spell out for you what we think is the real story of Leakgate. Anyway, we're proud to have Martin from Boom End Tribune. Martin, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, glad
hi,
to have
hi, guys.
Glad to have you along today. I mentioned to our audience a little earlier and just now, once again, that there's more to this story than just whether Bush or Cheney, whoever, leaked this information out. Don't you think so too? Don't you?
Well, absolutely. I think that there's a, you know, fixing of the intelligence going way back, and I think Judy Miller was a part of it from the beginning.
Right. They used, whether she was a willing pawn, a paid pawn, we don't know. But it appears to me, and I think it appears to you too, as if she was instrumental in propagandizing the people of the United States and a willing participant in all this thing.
She definitely was a willing participant, and she definitely, she went to jail to protect Scooter Libby. So even after, you know, Matt Cooper had blown the whistle, and there was really no need for her to do that, because the prosecutor already knew through Cooper that Libby was the leaker. And so,
yeah, spell that out for us. Take the timeline, if you can. Take a couple of minutes and give us the timeline and tell us how you arrived at this conclusion that she's involved up to her ears from day one.
Well, it all goes back to, I think everyone will remember that the decision to, well, the administration decided to launch a kind of marketing campaign in the fall of 2002, leading up to the vote in Congress that would authorize force.
Is that when they said you don't roll out a new marketing campaign in August?
That's exactly right.
All right.
In August, they set up a thing called the White House Iraq Group, or the WIG, which was a group of people like Karl Rove and Mary Madeline and Andrew Card and so on, Scooter Libby, to develop a kind of plan to sell the war to both the public and to the Congress people that were going to ultimately vote to authorize force. And Andrew Card, as you said, famously said, why are you bringing this out in September? He said, well, you don't roll out a new marketing campaign in August. And so what happened was, I believe it was September 8th of 2002, which was a Sunday, Judy Miller and Michael Gordon of the New York Times ran an article about Iraq and Saddam Hussein's nuclear ambitions. And when I went back and looked at that article and I looked at the points that she made in that article and how she phrased them, I realized that they were phrased very similarly and they were the same talking points or facts that would later go into the national intelligence estimate that was given to Congress to justify the war. And what that told me was that the raw intelligence that they had put together to give to Congress, she had seen a month before it was actually compiled into the report. And what that told me was, and then that information became classified, and that gets all the way down to a year later with the outing of Valerie Plame, when we can go into that too. But
and we might mention at this juncture that she got far more than ordinary access that American reporters got, didn't she?
Well, absolutely. I mean, this appears to have been the kind of raw intelligence that would be highly classified, and certainly would normally have to go through some kind of declassification process. And when they gave it to Congress, it was classified. So Congress saw this intelligence, but they couldn't talk about it, even though it had been reported a month earlier right in the New York Times.
And like you said, pretty much with some of the same phrases and the same talking points as you know, the intelligence and her article, same thing. They just said the same thing.
It almost looks as though she just switched a few words around or the people who wrote the National Intelligence Estimate just switched a few words around from her article. They're so similar.
And that brings me up to a point here that the question is, did they take their intelligence information from her, or did she get her information from them?
Well, that's the second issue, which is that all of this intelligence was bad, and later it's all been exposed as erroneous since then. So, and also it was portrayed as the consensus of the intelligence committee or various intelligence agencies. It was portrayed as their kind of collective wisdom when there were serious doubts about almost every piece of this intelligence. And so it's the one thing that's clear, and it's hard to know who is responsible, whether Chalabi was putting in bad information and then that was considered good information, whether Judy Miller was, you know, it's hard to understand what the exact role was at what point, but the thing that is definite is that this intelligence wasn't good. And that there were people in the intelligence committees that knew it wasn't good, and Judy Miller portrayed it as being solid, as being the consensus.
As she did, and we might bring up at this juncture that a lot of this is aimed at discrediting former Ambassador Joseph C. Wilson, who went to Niger at the CIA's request, and you know, they wanted to make him look like a monkey. They wanted to make him look a liar when it turns out like his information was right on the money. He was exactly right that they didn't buy any uranium yellow cake from the African country.
Exactly, and we had a article that came out just, 2 days ago, that the president, sometime before the State of the Union address with the famous 16 words, that Saddam Hussein had tried to get uranium from Niger, that the Pentagon had become concerned that if it were true that Niger was talking about selling uranium to Iraq, that maybe the Pentagon should reevaluate their working relationship with the Niger government. And so they requested that the intelligence community collectively look at these allegations and let them know. And they told them unequivocally that it was a baseless charge. And that was before it went into the State of the Union address. That's a new revelation that we've been spending 3 years talking about this plane controversy. If we had known that from day one, there never would have been any discussion.
Exactly right.
That Wilson was dead on right from the beginning.
Yes. Yes, indeed he was. And they've done everything, that the pundits, the right-wing media has done everything they could to nail him to the wall. And they continue it to this day. And yet, he's the one guy in this whole thing that seems to have told the truth all along.
Yep.
The conclusion that you and I have come to, I want to see if we agree with on this. You know, it's fascinating to me how often that the New York Times gets denigrated by the right-wing media to be in a mouthpiece for the left, which I think is absurd. But the irony of this whole situation is it looks to me like that through Judy Miller, that this government was using the New York Times to be their mouthpiece unwittingly. It appears to me that they were an unwitting accomplice to the Bush administration on this. What do you think?
Well, I know the New York Times. I believe that the New York Times editors that were overseeing Judy Miller were unwitting. Her role in this is a little more ambiguous, and I don't know, it's hard to know how much she knew up front and how much of an innocent victim she might be. Based on her actions, I suspect that she's not that unwitting, but
It just looks to me like the New York Times is the one got left holding the bag here in media. They're the ones that threw her, that trumpeted this whole matter, broke the story, and had her on the inside. And then to find out that it was all nothing but a house of cards, you got to be a terrible embarrassment to the New York Times.
When they apologized.